Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 5 predictions and power rankings. Today we are joined by South Pacific's own Albert Destrade, who's coming on for the second time. Anybody who listened to our winter retrospectives, he came on and talked all about Sophie Clark. He spit so much knowledge about the game that we decided we were going to bring him back for the tribe swap episode so that he has the impossible task of navigating this. So, Albert, we're really putting you to the test here. Good luck, man.
Hey, listen, I'm up for the challenge, guys. It's really good to be back. I had a lot of fun last time. Hopefully we can rock and roll a little bit this time.
What are you thinking about the new season so far? Well, we only talked to you early on in the preseason, so now that it's actually coming to fruition, what are you thinking so far?
Yeah, now that it's funny. There's so much. I feel like this season had more hype and just energy before the fact, right? Than probably any season I can remember. And I think so far it's kind of living up to the expectation. There's still a little bit of a wow factor, like. These players are all really playing against each other. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have the wacky goats. It's like all good players who've played before. Mm-hmm. And it's been pretty fun to watch. It's really interesting because I watch for the mistakes. I like to watch Survivor to see, oh, that's a mistake. This person did that wrong. And I'm like, this season, like, they're playing pretty tight. They're playing pretty well. There's not really a lot of egregious errors happening, which, as a person who likes the strategy of the game, it's always very fun for me to watch.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see, well, we'll talk a lot about mistakes, but I'm curious to see how this season's going to hold up on like a second watch, because right now everybody's got that hype of just, we cannot believe these players are playing against each other. And obviously every week it's must watch TV, but when we go back and watch it a second time, are we going to have that same, is it still going to have the same impact, or is it going to kind of dwindle off a little bit? And we're going to sit here and be like, well, that was exciting because, you know, Ethan and Rob were just talking to each other rather than the fact that, you know, Natalie went home first.
Yeah, Ethan saying, Rob, you sucked. It was just like fantastic.
So amazing.
It was amazing. Like, you've been holding that in for 15 years, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think what will depend, and, you know, just to kind of answer your question, Phil, I think what will dictate how good the season it goes down in the lore of Survivor is basically how the post-merge works out. Because to me, that's what develops the season, right? The pre-merge is really everybody lining their ships up and everybody positioning themselves. And then post-merge, it's like, it's the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the regular season and the playoffs. So right now we're in the regular season. Everyone's just like, man, look at all these cool teams. And then eventually I think we're just setting ourselves up for, you know, especially now, once we enter this swap, I feel like that's going to create a very big crater in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to be either in or out. You know, last Tribal Council, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the groups within the groups. And, you know, my boy Yule was like, you know, when you take that photograph, who's with who? Like, mm-hmm. I think we're going to start to navigate. There's a lot of speculation now of who's with who, but I think we're going to see who's really with who.
Yeah. And if we're talking about this as a regular season, this is one of the best regular seasons we've seen, because this pre-merge, I mean, this pre-merge so far has been crazy. I mean, aside from Tyson's last week, which I thought was a little obvious, just because he has been on the outs the entire time. It was between him and Kim, and Kim hasn't said two words in the last couple weeks. So you could kind of tell it was going to be Tyson. Aside from that one, it's been crazy every week. Like, who saw Ethan going home? Who saw Danny going home? Who thought Natalie would be the first boot? And then Amber kind of went for reasons that weren't within Amber's control. So it's been a really good start. Now we have a tribe swap, and I can just imagine that, you know, the next three episodes or whatever it's going to be before they actually go to the merge, probably going to be chaos.
Yeah, it's an interesting season. I think it's fair to say every season Survivor, usually there's a little bit of like a wrinkle or the strategy kind of evolves, right? That's what I'm talking about, evolution. I think the evolution that this season, at least for me, and maybe you guys have noticed it too, is I think the evolution now is not who should we get out because, you know, they're not doing work or they're like, you don't like them. It's like, who's a shield? It's like a game of shields, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Tony's like, all right, I want to keep Tyson in for these reasons. And then they, you know, they ended up voting him off. But it's like, you know, people talk about, hey, why, you know, they voted off Amber and they vote off Ethan to weaken Boston Rob. Why not vote off Rob? But it's like, well, Rob's a great shield, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. there's like this, when you have so many dominant imposing players, it actually creates an opportunity for those players in the middle to the bottom to like, just float on, right? Like, even Tyson during his last episode was like, yeah, that alliance. And he started mentioning everyone. And he's like, who's that last person? He couldn't even remember Sophie. It's like, he's like in that perfect position of like, all right, I'm putting all these other people in the forefront. I have a secret, like, quiet group that's really a strong core right now, I think. Sophie's the core of Yule and her and, you know, Jeremy and Nick is like, it's a pretty fantastic group. But, you know, as we move forward, those little, the ability to manipulate the shields and that thing will, I think, will dictate the season in a big way.
Yeah. And Go ahead, Alexa.
I feel you might be saying the same thing, but Sophie has been looking fantastic. She's playing really great. And I think all three of us, when we talked, we were all a little nervous about her because she didn't really have any connections going in, but that seems to be working better for her than anybody else. Her and Yule, they're looking fantastic together.
They look great. I don't think we saw in South Pacific a lot of Sophie's pre-merge strategy, right? You just heard her commenting on like, Brandon Hance is a psycho, but like, he's like, now you actually see what, you know, her and I did, which is kind of crazy. That's how we played, you know, behind the scenes, kind of quietly develop, you know, influencing the vote and letting other people kind of take more of the forefront. And you're getting to see it now on TV, and it's fantastic. You know, I'm happy that, you know, the public now gets to see that she's a pretty solid player.
Yeah, and it was funny because I keep on mentioning this, but I just think it's so fascinating. She had the least amount of confessionals out of any of the winners who were playing on this season. She only had 25. I think the next lowest was 27, but she had the least amount in the season she won out of any winner. And she has been a focal point of these early episodes. I mean, even last week, she had that great confessional about going to a prison. And that's the type of material Sophie just was not getting during South Pacific. We saw almost no personality from her. And I feel like this season, it's been a complete 180 where we've seen so much personality from her.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So Sophie has that sass. She has a little bit of that, a little bit of that pizzazz. And we didn't really see that, but that you're right. That's like a coach confessional, right? That's not a Sophie confessional, like about this, like analogy of me going to prison and how that works with the edge of extinction. That's, you know, we're seeing a transformation. It's interesting. I'm happy that the editors have done that. It's a tricky season to edit. You know, they kind of surprised us with Ethan vote. I don't think a lot of people going into that tribal thought, oh, Ethan's going home. They kind of like pulled the rug out from under us. So it's fun. It's fun to see how they have so much to play with. It's an embarrassment of riches in a way, right? Everybody there is a great storyteller, a great player. So how they can kind of what they can show us and who they show us is going to be it's going to be fun.
And before we get into these power rankings, I want to ask you one more thing, because boy, did we get crapped on last week. Oh, my goodness. Alexa and I got ripped apart in our own comments on our own show. What's your take on this edge of extinction so far this season? Like, how are you feeling about it compared to 38? How do you think it's playing this time? Do you think it's too much, too little? Alexa and I had very strong opinions last week. Some of our fans didn't love that.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of on the fence about edge of extinction. The Survivor purist in me hates it, right? Because it's like when your torch gets snuffed, you're out of the game. That's how I feel. But now, as I'm seeing these storylines, and like maybe it's not a coincidence, but maybe it's been beneficial for the show that, you know, Ethan and his story battling cancer, you know, it's kind of been a major theme. How do I feel about it? I honestly would have preferred the season without it, but I think that so far it's added a little bit of value. I don't like if we do too much on it, because now you're taking away from the actual game of Survivor. There's so many good players in the game that I want to see them playing Survivor, not, you know, necessarily, you know, on edge of extinction. So I'd say it's a small minus for me. And if we could not be a focal point, it would be a positive, right? If it wasn't like, I think last week was like the longest segment we had with like I feel like it was like a 10-minute segment.
It was pretty much 10 minutes.
That was excessive.
Yeah. So to me, that you don't have to go into that degree of depth into it. But yeah, it's what we have to deal with. So it's what we got to do.
And how are you feeling about the fire tokens? Do you think that it's a good addition to the game? You think it's going to be something that's cool? Do you think it'll be better once Edge of Extinction isn't the way the fire tokens are kind of being distributed for advantages? What are you thinking?
Yeah. When I first heard fire tokens, I was just like, I don't know. This sounds a little bit too much like Medallion of Power, right? Which is really bad. And then, as I see it playing out, I'm like, this is actually kind of cool because it creates some interesting decision points. I like decision points. I like the idea of being able to use and leverage things like that. I actually kind of like them. I'm intrigued by them. I rate them as slightly intrigued, because I think instead of a guy, because here's what people don't like. People don't like when Ben just finds idols and then like saves himself with like, wait, what did he do? But I think people do like when you make a very good calculated decision using something like a fire token, for instance, to possibly position yourselves. Because, you know, I'm assuming they're going to set up some opportunities for these players to misplay their fire tokens, right? So, like, I should have done this, but I did that.
But I bought peanut butter. Like, right, yeah, exactly. That's what's going
to
come up.
Exactly. Like, oh, the famous Jeff Probst, like, you spent $1 million on peanut butter to, you know, sit out of that challenge. You're like, you know, I think that's going to happen. And I think that's what will make it fun, where people can be like, shit, I got to use this fire token the right way. It's not just like impunity can't be beaten, like undefeatable. That's not.
Yeah. And Natalie has been tweeting, because Natalie has, she's got four now, right? Three of them were trades with advantages. And every week that she, like for Jeremy, Sarah, and Sandra, she tweeted her reasoning behind selling it to that person. And those, other than Jeremy, like Sarah and Sandra are not the two I would have immediately thought of for her, but hearing her thought process and seeing Sandra's going to be in trouble no matter what, so I want to sell it to her. Sarah has successfully played a steal a vote before, so I'm going to send it to her.
She knows the game. Yeah,
that's really, that's just really, really interesting to hear that perspective. So that part I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like, I kind of felt for Sarah there because I want to say, who got the token prior to her? Was it Sandra?
Sandra gave up her token to get the idol. And then Sarah gave up her token to have the event, to have the opportunity to go out there, right, crawl into the camp and do all that.
And Sandra had like one decision, just give it and you get it. Sarah's like, all right, if you want to do this, you have to give up your token and execute this like spy mission.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that.
I'm like, that's not really, I mean, to me, it's like if somebody's going to get an advantage like that, it should be like a level playing field. I felt like Sarah's thing was much more difficult in retrospect, you know?
That's a really good point. And I think, I can't remember if it was Ethan or Amber who said this, but right when they were announcing that Edge Extinction Challenge, someone was like, I'm sorry, for one fire token, I'm taking 20 logs up and down. Exactly. So the price range is odd, but I think that will work.
I mean, I guess production's still kind of learning it, right? It's like,
yeah, it's new for everybody.
Idol, they're like, all right, you get this idol and you could use it, you know, after the vote for as long as the season works on. And then like, wait, we got to tweak this because this is not going to, it's going to affect the gameplay. So yeah, I think they're still getting used to it because I agree. There should be a different valuation for the tokens. It's like, if you got to climb a mountain for like 10 hours, it should be more than one token compared to
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I do think that what it came down to for all of them is they had to be there all day. They were probably so bored. It was, even if you got exhausted, I'm just going to go up and get the next log because what am I going to do for these next 5 hours?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, Bill, somebody who's played the game, you're never like, hey, I'm so bored, I want to do this extraneous exercise. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, your body, the way your body feels when you're playing Survivor and on limited resources, you're literally like, I don't want to move my arm this way because I don't, it's too much energy. I'm telling you, you're literally like a corpse. Imagine the most hungover, tired, like hungry you've ever been. That's how you feel 98% of the time. So it's, trust me, it's never fun to be like, oh, this is more fun than sitting. It's like, no, sitting is the best thing I'm going to do besides dying right now.
And as Ethan was kind of collapsing, like I could feel my hamstrings tightening up. Like you could feel that humidity. I'm so dehydrated. I have nothing left. I've pushed myself too far. My legs are killing me. I could feel that in my own body just watching him. Like as his knees tightened and he couldn't even bend his legs anymore.
Your body like freezes. Your central nervous system's like, dude, you keep this up, we're gonna shut you down. I've done challenges like at the end, my final three challenge, where I was trying to like run through this thing. I'm just like, go. My head, I'm like, go. And my body's like, you're not going anywhere, bud.
That's cute. Like, yeah, that's cute. You can do this challenge.
Amazing. Well, let's jump into the power rankings then. So the way that this works, as always, is we rank them 1 to 15. Number 1 is the safest. Number 15 is who you think is going to go home this week. This week, obviously, is very hard because it's a swap. We don't really know who's going to end up being on tribes. The only thing we know for certain is that Michelle and Wendell are going to end up being on the same tribe because of what happened in the preview and just knowing their history together. That's really all we know, though, at least from what I've seen. I haven't seen anything else. So this is a tough one to pull off. I think it's going to be 3 tribes of 5. We don't know which tribe's going to lose. There's so many reasons to vote out every single one of these winners. Albert, we're going to make you start it off. Who's your number one? Who you got as the safest person going into this week?
My number one safest person?
Yeah.
Yul Kwan.
Yul Kwan.
Ooh, I like that.
I like Yul. I think he's positioned himself well. I like the love fest that he had at the last episode where he wakes up and he's like, guys, we're a third of the way through. He's just like, his edit's good. He's positioned well with like the Smart Person Alliance with Sophie and like Nick. And I think even though Yule's not a new schooler, I think the new schooler / non-connected group is going to be a little stronger. And I think the old schoolers they're in trouble. They got an uphill battle. We've had some old schoolers go out early. I don't think the road ahead looks very good for them either.
Well, especially when you look at some of the new schoolers who are left, you have Rob, you have Parvati. Those are giant threats. Yeah, their days are numbered. So you would have thought the people who I thought would have done well from the old schoolers were Amber, Ethan, Danny, because they're lower threat level, and they're all sitting over there on Edge of Extinction now.
Yeah, it's been the shield theory, right? Everyone's like, all right, to Rob, Amber, right? To like, you know, to an effect, Parvati, Ethan, to an effect, Danny, to that group. It's like they're just kind of cutting out the people that's with the their alliance member in a way, or their whoever's their cohort. And now they're just, I think it's the blade's coming next for Parv. I think Parv might be.
She's in some trouble.
I think it might be soon for her now.
And I have my number one is obviously going to be Michelle for everybody out there. But my thinking is, my worry is, I think she's going to be in good shape this week. We see her with the confessional talking about Wendell and all that. Are these lower threats actually going to run out of low threats to sit with at the end and accidentally keep one of these shields around too long? Like, is that going to be a possibility? Because so far the people who have gone are all people that you could feasibly beat at the end. Maybe not Ethan, but you know, Natalie, Amber, Danny, I think you can beat them at the end. Well, you're starting to run out of those people. Like if you're Michelle or if you're Nick, that you can definitely beat. And there's going to be somebody sitting there, it almost feels like, who's a huge survivor name.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think what's going to happen with those people that are in the middle is they have to position themselves right. And I think it's going to come down to a decision of, do they, like, listen, look who's playing. There's a lot of people that are influential. They're going to be like, hey, like, we see a lot of good pitches. So it's going to be like, if I'm in this group and I get a great pitch over here from, you know, Boston Rob, and I do what Adam tried to do a couple episodes ago and try to play both sides, and it works effectively, it might catapult you up. But if you see what happens to Adam, where he's in the middle, he's trying to work both sides, and then Boston Rob just like blows him up, that could blow up his game. So it's like, it's a very polarizing and high risk decision. But I think the people that position themselves in the middle and then either do or don't, like, I can't, it's unfortunate. I can't give you a perfect answer, but the people that make the right call that to like switch the course or stay the course and don't do anything, I think that's who's going to win. And somebody who's like in that core group and makes a decision to either steer or stay.
Which kind of puts Sophie in a good spot, Yule in a good spot. Exactly. Like, those are the types of players who are looking good. Also, Alexa,
Sophie's a very big stay of the course. Maybe she's playing different, but I remember during my season, somebody like me who's always like, well, what about this option? She's always like, no,
it's right. The course.
I was always the one that was like, hey, but we could do this and that. And she's like, let's Sophie's a stay of the course one. That's in my opinion. That's
I also think your season might have been a little bit easier to stay the course on, because you guys did have such a core six or five, whatever it ended up being.
Our numbers advantage were fantastic. We didn't have to do anything fancy.
Yeah, you didn't have to. So Alexa, you were about to say something there.
I was saying that kind of makes because the shield strategy is so popular now. Like when you think about Sophie and Yule, they're super tight, but all I'm thinking is, when is one of them going to realize they have to get rid of the other one? Mm-hmm. It's not right now, but
when I played with her, I'm like, oh, me and Sophie are really cool. And then one day I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, she's playing against me. I'm playing against her. It's like,
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, like the timing is so precise and it totally matters week by week, but it's that part I think is what makes the shield strategy so difficult.
Alexa, that's probably the skill that's most difficult, most nuanced, and you can't teach it, but it's so important, is timing, right? There's a good move and a bad move, but that's always dependent on the timing. You know, I can decide to, you know, make a move against my core, and if it's poorly timed, it'll blow up in my face. But if it's perfectly timed, that's what we're saying, it could literally make you a game. Sandra's, you know, a lot of players have done that, where they just make a decision here, and then all of a sudden, boom, next thing you know, you're in the finals and you win.
It's like Wardog. He made the move probably one tribal too early, and it just and it left them wide open for them to just be picked off after that. Had he done it 1 week later, he might have been able to ride it all the way to the end. It's kind of crazy how that can turn. What you had mentioned beforehand, that you like to look at Survivor for mistakes, and you brought up Adam talking to Boston Rob. Do you consider that a mistake, or do you think that was just he had to try to make that move and messed it up?
No, I actually, and I like Adam Klein. I love millennials and Gen X. I think that was an egregious mistake on his part. You know, when I was helping my buddy Ronnie Barda prepare for last season, we went over a bunch of the stuff. And one of the biggest things is, information is power in Survivor, right? Mm-hmm. So in Survivor, you want to accumulate information and you want to give out minimal information. You want enough for people to trust you, but you always want to take. If you're giving big pieces of information, especially to somebody you can't 100% trust, it's a big mistake, because a player like Boston Rob is just going to be like, oh, perfect, this is some ammunition for me. And he did exactly what you would expect him to do. He's going to be like in the last episode, he's just like, hey, I'm just going to go up to Jeremy and make something up, because I guess Adam is, even being around them is bad, right? Because he could be sitting with Parvati and Rob, and Rob could just walk up and be like, oh, Adam just said this, which is completely untrue. But Rob is a fantastic liar. Like the way he like lied to Jeremy was, he actually didn't even lie to him. He was
unbelievable.
Like, hey, Adam's talking to me. you know, and I don't know what to do about it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't say Adam.
It's amazing.
He literally didn't say it. He's just like eating his like fruit. And he's like, yeah, you know, it is like, he's like letting people read between the lines to exactly what he wants them to think. It's like, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
And it's a lie or let's say untruth that anyone can buy. It's not, he wasn't saying anything far-fetched. That's
as soon as he says, you're just like, I know what this guy means. And you get in these, and they get mad. And you saw Michelle immediately like, we can't trust Adam. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeremy saying he's got to go. He's got to go. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, and that led to,
I think Adam pretty low. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And that's Rob was MVP of last week, probably because of that lie, as voted on by everybody here. So he was MVP of last week. Alexa, who's your number one? But before you say that, I just wanted to say, I just realized I'm in first place of the power rankings. I just saw that you updated the scores and I'm in first place, and I did not brag about that nearly enough, but I'm in first place out of everybody. Alexa?
Well, as you know, I'm terrible at math, so you very well might not.
Yeah, that's true. I might be in last place. But...
no, Rob's like, I watched it with my mom this weekend, and Rob just looking at Parvati and being like, so do we bury him? It was so good.
Oh yeah, do we
like bury ruin him? His life? So just like, he doesn't even think of it. It's unbelievable. And
also, it's not like he's from a position of power. This isn't Redemption Island, Rob.
Where no
zombies, right? He's like, whatever. I'll find a way to bury him if I need to. Like, it's like
it's unbelievable. Yes, it's so good. I'm actually going to do my 1 through 3, and I'm only doing this because it's a swap week. Spoiler: everyone with advantages, I have high up. Sandra's idol expires. Assuming she goes to tribal council, she's going to play that if she ends up at tribal council.
Yeah.
This week she was portrayed as the swing vote, but I heard that there were some editing tricks where this Tony trying to switch it up kind of never actually happened. So Tyson, it sounds like, was going home no matter what.
Okay.
But Sandra is being shown as safer than realistically she should be. Mm-hmm. So I think she still has that. If she ends up on a tribe with Rob, she will bury him, to use the word that he used previously. Yeah. She's got Tony. I think if she ends up without Tony, it's her and Sarah. She's good. She has options, shockingly, but she has an idol. I think that's really huge for her. My number two is Jeremy, half because he's got the safety without power and half because he's another one who has weirdly barely been visible. But everyone, he and Michelle have been so good dictating while still seeming under the radar. He is playing such a good backseat game after getting blindsided week one. I think Jeremy looks really good.
I love Jeremy. Jeremy really high up as well.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And I think it was Yul who made the comment last week where he's saying, you know, I need a lot of avenues. I have a lot of avenues. I think Jeremy and Sandra, I think they both have a lot of avenues.
Mm-hmm. People come to Jeremy. Jeremy doesn't go to people. People come to Jeremy.
Which it's amazing. Yeah. He's got that charisma. It's fantastic.
And it is crazy. Him and Michelle are probably the tightest alliance on that tribe. Even though Rob and Parvati are tight, they're tight because they need to be. Michelle and Jeremy are tight because they want to be. And I think that alliance is the one to watch moving forward. I have Jeremy high, a little bit lower than Alexa has her, probably a little bit lower than you have him, Albert. But I do have him pretty high up because I do think him and Michelle are the like the alliance of this season right now. Them and then Yul and Sophie.
Yeah.
Alexa, who was your number three? Because I know you wanted to rattle off all three.
Yeah, I'll keep her. So my number three is Denise because nobody knows that Denise is there. I mean, Tyson had the great confessional about how he didn't even know that Sophie was in that majority alliance.
Right.
I think you could have swapped out with Denise. Denise is floating around. No one has any reason to get rid of her. No one has any reason to align with her, but there's also no reason to get rid of her. So I think her floating right in that middle while having an idol that only one person knows about, and that person is super desperate right now.
Adam?
I think Denise, Adam. Adam's the only one who knows, and she's in a great spot with that.
Yep.
I think actually for her, a swap might help because I think she's tied to Adam and getting away from Adam might be good right now. Like she needs some space from him.
Well, and then if Adam is going to go home, if he knows his name is on the chopping block, he can't throw Denise under the bus if he's not on the same tribe as her because it won't make a difference. If he's on the same tribe as Denise, he can be like, well, she has an idol, try to get rid of her. She won't see it coming. Puts a little bit of a target on her back. My number two is Sandra. Just wanted to throw that out there real quick just because – has the idol, has to play it if she goes to tribal. So I have her at two. Albert, who do you could do your 2, 3, just 2, whatever you want to do, but who do you got next?
Yeah, for me, it works in like the clusters. So I look at like the Yule Sophie tandem, just similarly to the way you guys looked at the Jeremy Michelle tandem. Those four are kind of interchangeable as the top four for me. I guess I didn't quantify that Sandra has that, the idol has to be used this tribal, has to be used this next tribal.
Yeah, it was good for her next three tribal councils, and she has gone to two. It's only good for one more tribal.
I didn't quantify that just because I look at Sandra, I'm like, she's such a threat. I'm not thinking of her as like a long-term, like, I don't think Sandra's going to, if Sandra makes it really deep in this game, tip my cap to her because God bless her. That's fantastic.
Right.
She's already made it further than she should have made it.
Yeah, no, in Game Changer, she came in and we were like, wow, like you really saw Sandra's like ability to be dangerous and good. Mm-hmm. And then she was out, like, I think right around here, right? Maybe she was out one more vote after this.
She was 14th and then, no, she was 15th and Varner was 14th, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she's right around this kind of sphere. So yeah. I'll say maybe I should have her higher for this episode, but I still think, well, I'm looking at my power rankings long-term. I'm seeing that foursome going far of Yule, Sophie, Michelle, and Jeremy. I think barring something crazy happening, and then I'm hoping they don't get swapped to like a really disadvantageous tribe where it's just like, you know, all the people that are not really close to them for some reason. But I like Yule one. I think Jeremy's a really good two for the factors we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna place my girl Sophie number three. I'm gonna place her number three.
I like it.
I love that. Yeah, I think so. I was very low out of all the under the radar women, Danny, Michelle, I would say kind of Denise and Sophie. Sophie was the one I was the lowest on. I thought she was going to come out and kind of be like Monica Padilla was in Second Chances, where there's always that one under the radar female player who comes back, or like not even female. I mean, Caleb was another one. They come back, they play for their second time, and everybody thinks, oh, they're just going to be able to get to the end because they're unheard of, and they still go out early. And I thought Sophie was going to be that player, but I fell into the trap of just the edit and in the season she was on, and I didn't realize how good she really was at what she does. And she has worked her way in so perfectly. I think the way that she has Yule positioned as always a bigger target than Sophie will ever be, as long as Yule's in the game, Sophie's name is never going to come out of anybody's mouth.
It's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I hate to hear it, but it's a good point. You're right. 100% true.
You don't want Sophie.
Kim walked up to her and was like, hey, here's the idol. And Kim's like, she's like, Sophie's special is fantastic. She's like, I'm not even that close with Kim. It's like insane. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, which is like, don't give it to the devil. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And then so your four would be Denise, right? Or was it Denise?
No, not for the reasons you guys just said. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
I got to move up. I had her a couple rungs down, but I'll slot her at fourth.
Okay, so Sandra, four.
And let's put Michelle Fitzgerald number five.
Okay.
She's part of that. She's part of that.
Yeah, I love it. My number three, I actually, because I am just obnoxious, I have Sarah Lucina because she tweeted at us and because it was the nicest tweet we've received from a survivor. So Albert, if you want to just like tweet something nice at us, we'll always like put you as number one on any type of second chance ballot moving forward.
Yeah,
we just need a nice tweet.
I need some support for second chance, you know. I'm running a shooting campaign here. I'm like a third party candidate.
Yeah. and we're your donors. You don't have the billionaires. You have the podcasters.
Crazy, man. I'm like, please go fund me. Like, give me a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. $1 gets you, gets me maybe on the ballot. Yeah. So I have Sarah here. She had tweeted at us that it was the best recap ever, that we totally get it. And I was like, damn right we do. But I also
even though he complains the entire time.
I think we had good points.
I think we had great points.
The thing I like so much, honestly, about Sarah's game, aside from the fact that she tweeted at us, she is doing such a great job of working with Tony, working with Yule, working with Sophie, working with Sam. She is in with every single person on that tribe. There's nobody
I was a little worried when they showed her immediately attached to the hip with Tyson. I was like, this is not necessarily the greatest. Yeah. This is kind of a negative sign for her, but I got to tell you, Sarah is somebody that, you know, I always say that playing a season of Survivor teaches you so much about the game, about yourself. If you watch the evolution of Sarah from, like, you know, the original season Kagayan to Game Changers to now, it's like a whole different person, like a different human being. She's just more, she's calmer. She's more like, even somebody went up to her last episode. Oh, it's Tyson. Tyson's like, I think it should be Nick. And she's like, have you told anybody else that? That's like a very mature, level-headed, smart way to go. It's like, don't comment on what you think about that until you find out how many people have that information. That's a very savvy move. So Sarah's a beast, man. Sarah's somebody that I didn't give a lot of credit to. Kagyan, I was wrong about her. I thought she was just, you know, this emotional cop type deal. She's a beast. So, and Tony's come
She's
back.
Great.
Tony's doing exactly what I wanted Tony to do, which is like, dude, just take the foot off the gas a little bit. He's like, calm down. So the fact that they're kind of working together and he's more calm now, I think it's a really good thing. So.
Mm-hmm. That was one of your big talking points in our Winners at War episode with you. You were very big on like, what's Tony going to do here? For sure. And I have yours up right now. You had Sophie getting 15th place, which means she would go out this week, which clearly you've turned on that. And it's funny. It's funny because your winner pick was Kim Spradlin, and Kim is coming to Sophie with this information.
I love it.
It's coming from
Sophie. I'm like, okay, Kim and Sophie are going to do it. And then Sophie's just like, yeah, F you.
Give me your damn idol.
I was like, wow, this is insane.
And then I'm going to rip through my next three because they've been talked about a lot. I have Denise at 4, idle, good position at the swap, never going to be the biggest threat. Sophie at 5, I am so impressed with how she's playing. And then Jeremy at 6, because if he finds himself in a position where he really does believe I'm going home tonight, especially on one of these small tribes, he's just going to say, I'm playing this thing without power, or, you know, advantage without power. I'm going to get out of tribal council. Let the other, I think what would be really cool this episode is if Jeremy gets swapped to a tribe with 4 people from the original Dakal tribe, and they are just like, well, Jeremy's the easy vote, and Jeremy doesn't think he can flip it. And at the last second, Jeremy plays that, you know, power without, you know, whatever, and leaves tribal, and those 4 are left sitting there like, what do we do now?
What
I think
do
that
we
would
do?
Just
That'd
be epic.
Fantastic television, yes.
Yeah.
And one little wrinkle, too, about Jeremy, too, that it's like so interesting how the game works. This game has changed. So his best ally was voted out first in Natalie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many seasons ago, that would have been like, wow, this guy's in trouble. He's got no one to turn to. It actually helps Jeremy now because now he's less of a threat because his biggest ally perceived is on edge of extinction. You know what I'm saying? So now you're like the ability to not be connected to people helps you in a way. It's really weird how it's changed.
And it was a great way. That's how Natalie pretty much was able to get through the early stages of her first season, is her sister, her twin sister, goes home early. So that amazing race 20 thing just goes away. It just disappears. And now it's just, oh, she's just Natalie.
You know, second that season, it was Val Collins, Jeremy's wife. Both were first and second out, and then they both win the game. Pretty fantastic.
The storyline between Natalie, I mean, if Jeremy ends up winning, because like it's the thing with the 20s, but also once Jeremy was voted out, Natalie was like, I got to win it for Jeremy. So if you flip that and Jeremy ends up winning this, like the storyline between the two of them is really
fantastic.
Really
good.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm a
huge
fan.
They joined the statue crowd, possibly, right? They might be the next.
I don't know. That'd be exciting.
They might need to. Or at least they got to make shirts for each other. And I don't think Natalie's married, but I know Jeremy obviously is married, but they still got to make the shirts for each other. Like, I heart Natalie or I heart Jeremy. They got to at least make those if they're able to pull this out.
That's fantastic.
Be awesome. Alexa, who do you have at 4 and 5?
My number 4 is Yul Kwan. Similar reasons that we've already talked about. I think, when he had that confessional about saying he has all these options, my first thought was, oh my God, he's about to get super blindsided. Because when you say that, that's such a kiss of death. But he does have a ton of avenues. So if he gets swapped onto a tribe, do we know if it's 2 tribes or 3?
I think it's 3.
3? Okay.
You think it's 3? Yeah. Is that based on the number 15? Yeah.
That's why I'm guessing it, and I don't really see.
You're going to have 3 islands. You're going to have an Edge of Extinction.
They did do that in Edge of Extinction. No, they didn't.
Exile Island and I don't know. It's a lot of camera crews. What was I going to say? So if he gets swapped onto a tribe that's majority Dakal, that's looking good for him because he's already in control of that tribe anyway. If he gets swapped onto a tribe with Parvati, she's pretty desperate right now. Parvati is his only prior connection.
That's true.
I think he can work with that. If he gets swapped onto a tribe with Boston Rob, he can, like, he's in that position where he's an old school player, but the old schoolers would need him rather than try to turn against
them. It seems like he's fit better with the new schoolers, even though that's why I said earlier, I was like, he's an old school guy, but he seems like
really does.
Like over here, he's over there. It's like he's fit very well with Sophie and Nick and all these young people.
Yeah, I think he looks great. So Yul is my number 4. And my number 5 is someone who did receive a vote last week. Nick Wilson is my number 5. I think he's in that alliance, but if he gets swapped onto a tribe that has a bunch of new schoolers, I think that would work for him. I think he maybe struggled to get his footing early on, but I really don't think so. I think
he's done a good job of lowering his threat level, though. He's playing the he's doing exactly what we talked about. He's doing the aw shucks.
Amazing.
Like, I'm a big fan of Tyson. I got a crush on Parvati. Like, these are my idols. Like, he's doing a really good job. Like, you wouldn't be like, this guy won Survivor. You'd be like, oh, this is just like a, like, he's
I need to have like a Southern accent and then apply for Survivor, because people just trust you. It's amazing. It's
the aw shucks movements.
And what I think is so fascinating about Nick's game too, is they were complaining about him. Like, they were all saying, all he does is eat. He doesn't do any work around camp. He just sits here, blah, blah. They're treating him as if he didn't win Survivor. Like, that's a great point that you just said. They're actually acting as if, like, oh, this is just a goat. Like, who is this guy? Exactly. He won Survivor doing exactly that. He would always say he did nothing around camp, but he made good relationships. You listen to our podcast with Tommy last week. That's how he won Island of the Idols. He said, I didn't lift a thing around camp. I just talked to everybody. Nick clearly had 8 people who were on his side last week, or 7 people, whatever it was. He doesn't need to be worried. And you know, he was smart enough to throw the vote at Kim just in case Tyson had an idol. I mean, I think Nick's in a really good spot. I have him a little bit lower than that, Alexa, but I'm not scared for Nick really at all, despite the fact that he got a vote last week.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that if he makes this middle ground area where they're just like, let's get rid of these people, I think he'll go really far. It's like, if he's not on the next 3, he's going to go to like the top 6, I think.
Yeah. Yep. I completely agree with that. Albert, who do you have at 6?
Double check here.
So you went Yule, Jeremy, Sophie, Sandra, Michelle.
Denise Stapley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And then Alexa, so who's your 6 then?
My number 6 is Sarah. I would have Sarah higher. The only reason that she's not in my top like 3, honestly, is because she does have the steal vote, and assuming these are tribes of 3, steal vote with 5 people is huge. That's a small group where all you'll need is 1 vote to switch it up. But this is even going to pregame. She has her really, really tight crew. Who from the Stele tribe, if she ends up with them, is going to work with her immediately? I'm not super sure. So I think she'll be fine, because clearly she has a fantastic social game. But if she's not with the right group of people, I am nervous for her.
I agree. I mean, I do agree, because even though Sarah isn't a huge threat, she's enough of a threat that her name could start to come up at one of these swaps. So yeah. I do completely agree. I mean, I put her high, but
she scares me, because she's a bigger threat than we give her credit.
Such a big threat. And no one, we don't even give her that credit.
I kind of put her as high as I did, more for the edits purpose than anything else. I felt good about her because
of the tweet.
And because of the tweet. I mean, honestly, she's going to be in my top 3. She's going to be my new Michelle. So everybody get ready for that. But my 7 and 8 are kind of for the exact opposite reason of what you just said. I think these two players here, when they swap, nobody's going to be calling out their names. I just don't see any reason. And that's, I got 7, I got Ben, and 8, I have Nick. Because I think those two guys, they're two of the more recent winners. They don't have, like, nobody's looking at Ben as a threat right now. Everybody's looking at Ben as kind of stupid, which I think is the wrong move. But especially early on, they were like, who is this guy? Like, what is he doing? He's in over his head, blah, blah. But I think they can control him, which is exactly where you want to be if you're stuck on a tribe of 5. You don't want to be the person who everybody's like, man, I don't know if we can work with him later. And then Nick, just keep on sitting there and playing dumb, because once the merge hit, that's the only time the game matters anyway. The people you haven't met yet who are over on Edge of Extinction were never going to vote for you to win anyway. So just worry about it once the merge hits, and then try to really turn your game on. I love where both of these guys stand going into a swap.
Yeah, I concur. I think Ben came off a little hot when he was trying to like kind of knock heads with Rob, and I think he's trying to doing a Tony. I think he self came out like, all right, I played this frantic game of Survivor, started off this season a little frantic, and now like from at least what we've seen from the edit, he's kind of like taking a step back and relaxing, which is what he really needs to do. He can't play that frantic style, especially against these kind of players. They're just gonna be like, we got to get this guy out of here, he's spooking us.
And I think by this point too, you got to think, in the first 3 days, it's Boston Rob. By the time you get to day 12 or whatever they're on now, it's just like, oh, he's just another Survivor player. But the first couple days, I think he's a little overwhelmed. And now it's at the point where it's like, Boston Rob's making people dump their bags, making people do this. He's my competition. It is what it is now. You know, that has all worn off, and it no longer matters.
That bag
dump
was fantastic, by the way. That was one of my favorite moments.
Unbelievable.
So good.
Now, was it a mistake there for Adam to speak up against Boston Rob while he was dumping his bag?
I didn't really like the way Adam played that whole tribal council. I think he's listen, you're in a game with a bunch of strategists. Anytime you do any of that stuff that's borderline shady, you're just putting a target on yourself. I didn't like it. I thought he should have stayed the course with his group, been, you know, I like what he did this last episode with the apology tour, but I think he should have stayed the course and just like, there's no reason to put your neck out for Boston Rob. It just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. All right. Who wants to go next with their number seven?
My number seven is Michelle, just cause we've been talking about her a lot. Seems a little low, and this is me either reading into the preview or not. She's going to have some attention on her, good or bad. And I think if there's going to be a Michelle versus Wendell battle, which I really don't think there will be, she would come out the winner, because with this preview, she's been shown as kind of the protagonist of this breakup, mm-hmm. dare I say. I feel like we're talking about The Bachelor, and it's really weird to do this as a crossover. But I still think you put Michelle on any tribe, no one's going to say, oh my God, do you know who needs to go home? Michelle Fitzgerald. That's just not where, like, that's just not the thought process people are going to have. So I think she's okay. You know, I'll knock her down a peg just because there might be tension. And when there's tension, people are going to jump on it.
Yep. I agree. Yeah, I could see that.
I have Wendell number seven. So
perfect. How cute.
I have him seven, and well, I don't want to spoil it, but I think him and that core is going to move forward. I think mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous about him on a swap, because he can be perceived as a threat. As you approach the merge, guys like Wendell, who are physical, social, not connected outside of the game, but in an alliance, if people find out, like, hey, this guy's really close to these guys, I could see him. That's why he's not a little bit higher, but I still love Wendell. I think he's playing a really calm game. I think he's playing – you know, he's like, what I like to see how the guys are playing, where the players are playing, is when you know they're lying, how do they lie? So like last mm-hmm. episode, Tyson's like, oh, we're good with Nick, right? And then you can see Wendell just stone cold, like, yeah, he's not even going to see it coming. When it's really talking about Tyson, but it's mm-hmm. like, I'm like, that's him lying. Okay, that was pretty good. Like, even Yule had to see Yule lie last episode, and I was like, eh, he's not the best liar, but
yeah, exactly.
Players lying, yeah, he's not really good at it. But when you see the players lying, that's when you see when the players are good.
Yeah, I agree. And I have Wendell a little bit lower, because I do worry that with the Michelle versus Wendell thing, because of how quiet Wendell's been, any reason to vote somebody out, maybe that's just a reason Michelle's not going to be there. Normally the woman goes in the situation. We saw it happen with Figgy and the Figgy Taylor situation. Yeah. But if it's Wendell and Michelle, when they're trying to keep around, you know, they're trying to keep around targets and things like that, but they're also not booting people that they like, nobody, I think, is still worried about Michelle. And I think she's more social and a little bit less. I think the reason that some of these other players went home, or at least Danny especially, was because they were worried that she was just doing a little too much with her game. And I don't think Michelle's going to be perceived that way. Michelle probably isn't getting any of the credit for any of the votes out there on the island.
I got to stop you there real quick. My counter to that would be this.
Yeah.
If you're a bunch of Boston Robs and Parvati's and, you know, Tony's of the world, who's your biggest threat? It's not the other ones. It's Michelle Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. right? It's the one that's going to float by. So if she gets swapped to a tribe with a lot of the heavy hitters, if I'm one of the heavy hitters, I'm like, guys, we can't let this girl float to the end and beat us all, right? She's going to do what Sandra's done to us in Heroes and Villains and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be sure that she's like super safe, but I'm just be mindful of that. Depending on where mm-hmm. they get swapped to, be mindful of that factor. I think it'll play a factor.
Mm-hmm. I do think, though, especially since we know she's going to end up with Wendell, if she were to end up with like Parvati, Sandra, and Boston Rob, let's say all three of them, and they all want to keep each other, I think they actually get rid of Wendell before they get rid of Michelle, because I don't think that they look at Wendell as a shield, but they also look at him as somebody who can do kind of the Sandra thing. Because the way Wendell won was he made his way to the end by being very likable against a player who plays as aggressively as Boston Rob and Parvati. So I think that that's why, knowing that those two are together, I just think Michelle's in a position where really no matter how the other three on her tribe shape up, they probably don't go after Michelle before they go after
sense.
Wendell.
She's definitely less. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Heads to head, he's gonna go. Wendell will always go before. I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's why I think
showed that. That's why I won't have Michelle above her. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had Michelle at five, so that's, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Alexa, who's your eight?
My eight is Sophie. I have her right in the middle because I know who she's aligned with, but now I kind of fall back to the lack of connections on the other side. We know she's tight with Yule. But then past that, we see that Yule is sort of the ringleader of the others in that alliance of Nick and Wendell. We haven't really seen Sophie interacting with them that much, but we have seen Sophie owning the half of Kim's idol. So I think if Sophie and Kim end up together,
but she does own half the idol. I was curious about that, right? It was a split idol.
I think she still has it.
I don't think she gave it back to Kim.
She's not giving that thing back.
That's great. I had a note about that here. I was like,
yeah. Because we see Adam giving Denise's back. So Denise, I think, has a full idol. Kim
and Ben knows about that. So
Ben is aware.
Has a half, but Ben knows. That's what
mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's important to note. I forgot about that. So I think if Sophie ends up with Kim, then Sophie can use Kim. Because I think right now she just wants an excuse to beat Kim because she's got the power in it. But I have her right in the middle just because I think she's in a really good spot now. But come swap, I have no idea what that could mean.
Agreed.
Gotcha. I actually have her counterpart in this thing. I have Kim at 8, actually.
Good.
I know that Kim got off to a rough start this season. I know we haven't seen a whole lot of her. But I do still think that she's positioned in the right group. I think she's around the right people. And I think these old school survivors with play like 3-4 times, like sleep on Kim, like just because she played one time on like a not that popular season, like that girl's a beast. So it helps her. I think she's going to be socially savvy enough to reposition herself in a way, even though she got off to a rough start by picking Sophie as her like top person and turned out to be really bad. But I still think that she's kind of in that middle road and she's so socially savvy where she's not going to make a lot of glaring mistakes, I don't think, that I think she fits well in that number 8.
I love the idea. Yule definitely went back, rewatched all these seasons before he went out there, so he would know everything that was going on, know all the game, the players' ticks and everything, and I could just imagine him getting to One World, starting it, and just being like, never mind, I can skip this one.
He's like, Tarzan, Troyzan, yeah.
I mean, there's some good characters on that season, but that is just the worst freaking season. It is just relentless, but
I was almost on that season.
Though. Well, thankfully, you're on the one before it.
They told me originally I was on 24. And like, I don't know if they're messing with me or they really made a change, but they were like, I called like my guy and he's like, oh no, you're on 23. And I'm like, what?
They replaced you with Tarzan. You guys are the same type.
Yeah, you guys are the same archetype. Yeah.
I mean, let's think about this though. Would 24 have been a better season with Albert on it? Like, would 23 have lost as much if you weren't on that season as 24 would have gained by you being on that season?
I would have been so frustrated dealing with – I think that was probably the worst group of men ever.
Ever.
The worst. The absolute worst.
Like, they're like, no, we're going to throw the challenge to go to – or not throw a challenge. We won the challenge. We're going to refuse to go to tribal council or refuse to send them. We're going to go ourselves. It's like I would have – like, I literally would have been pulling my hair out. I don't have that much hair. I would have been pulling my hair out.
Yeah, but then on the flip side, I would like to see a Coach and Tarzan alliance. I'm liking what we have here. I don't know.
That season was upside down, man. My winner pick was Matt Quinlan, who I think was the first person out.
He was the first. The first man booted because I think it was Courtney went, and then Nina went, and then I think it was Matt, like, or Matt went before
guy,
me.
Right?
Yeah, he was the rooster.
Yeah.
I was like, this. I'm like, before the season, I'm like, this guy's gonna win. And I'm watching. I'm like, just crying. I'm like, this
guy. Yeah. I've never made a worse decision in my life. my number 9, I have Yule. You both already talked about Yule. You know, I worry for Yule. I'm actually worried about my bottom 7 here. I'm pretty confident in my top half, but my bottom 7 I'm worried about because they're all people who, if a swap goes wrong for them, are easily early targets for other people. So like Yule, even though Yule's playing a really good game right now, Yule swaps around and you're like, this guy's so smart. We have a chance to get rid of him before the merge when he can really start to pick up steam. He might not have an idol yet. Like, let's do this. So I just worry a little bit for Yule and everybody else who follows him. You know, he's playing great, but at the end of the day, even though I think right now there's bigger targets in the game, Yule is still one of the bigger targets for a lot of people because he is kind of an unknown.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It would hurt my heart, but I could see it happening.
Yeah, I know. That would suck. I love watching him.
If Yule does anything other than win, I'm going to be so heartbroken.
He's so good.
He's the best.
Who you got, Alexa?
We're at 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
My 9 is Tony, which sounds low, but I actually think he's fine. I don't think he's going to swap and then immediately become Kageyan Tony again. I think he's in this new mindset for the long run. I think... He's being shown as a follower who still has like his own opinions about him. You know, like he wasn't going to fight that Tyson vote or didn't feel the need to fight it more than what we saw. You put him on he swaps onto a tribe of threats and people are seeing how he's acting. They're going to get rid of Boston Robert Parvati before they get rid of him. So I actually think Tony's in a good spot. I think if he's with Sandra, he's good. He's with Sarah, he's good. And I think even if he's with the Unconnected Alliance, I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't think people are really threatened by Tony.
Crazy, right?
I think this is the key to Tony's game is this tribe
swap. Yeah.
Because I think if he hits the merge, he can go right back into doing what he was doing and he'll be fine because there's still going to be bigger threats. Tony can just be like, look, I'm just here. Numbers start dwindling. You're okay. He's made it through the first portion, but this swap could be so dangerous because I'm thinking it's going to be 3 tribes of 5. If it's 3 tribes of 5, there is nowhere to hide. And at the end of the day, his name is still Tony. And that could be all it takes to want to vote him out. So I have him a little bit lower. I do think, though, like these next 1 or 2 votes are the key for Tony. He's just got to get through that. And then I think he could really start to take this new strategy and run with it once the merge hits.
Yeah, I have some stuff on Tony about who he reminds me of, but I'll wait till he comes up in my slot here.
Okay. Who's your 9?
My number 9 is actually Ben.
Okay.
Ben's been 10.
For similar reasons, I think he's kind of got a shuffled in the middle. He's not that winner that jumps off the paper for the other people. I think he seems to me like, I've never played with him, but he seems like the kind of guy that like probably does a lot around camp, right? And with a bunch of divas, that's probably a good person to ask. Probably getting the firewood and like, you know, getting fish and stuff. So I think Ben's gonna be in a good spot. He's a good guy to have pre-merge. He busts his ass in challenges. So I think he's a nice guy to be right in that middle.
Yeah. And really though, I mean, Alexa, you just said you have my number 10. The mm-hmm. last time that there was this 3-tribe swap was, right, it was in Ben's season. They went to three different tribes of 5. It was the first time we'd seen 3 tribes of 5. And Ben found himself in a little bit of trouble at that point. And luckily, I don't think he ever had to go to tribal, or if he did, he was able to navigate his way out. But he was a little bit on the outside looking in at that point. I don't know if that's just the edit to kind of build up this underdog story, since he was such an underdog the rest of the game.
Right.
But he was in a little bit of trouble. Alexa, what do you got him at 10 for?
I'm putting someone at 10, yet about to caveat that I think he's safe. I think it has been so abundantly clear that Ben is not a threat, and he has done such a good job managing that. I think at first people were freaking out, and then when he found an idol for someone else, I mean, that's someone who's really showing allegiance to an alliance. So I think if he ends up with Denise, that's going to be fine. He and Ethan were tight. He and Jeremy seem to be tight. I think he doesn't have a best friend, but he has a lot of people who are either indifferent to or generally like him. And I think that's, if he ends up on a tribe with a lot of people from Dakal, I think that will come out really quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are going to see like big, scary idol Ben. I think they're going to see the Ben that's been playing.
Yeah, I completely agree. My 10 is Kim. Albert, you already talked about Kim. I don't know. I don't love Kim's game right now. I think Kim's in a little bit of trouble, but I just put her this low because she doesn't have anybody who's definitely going to go to bat for her from her own tribe. Mm-hmm. So if it were to get to a point of like there's 2 to call and 3 from the Selle tribe, and the Selles want to get rid of Kim, the other Dakal person, no matter who it is, going to be like, sure, get rid of Kim. I don't really care. So I worry for her in that way, but also she's kind of unthreatening right now, although Selle doesn't know that, which is so weird. So Selle might say, oh, let's get rid of Kim. She's dangerous.
That's a good point.
But at the same time, she's not dangerous at all. She's just Kim.
Yeah. It could be like Tony thing. That's a good point. People could be like, oh, Tony's over there. And they don't realize he's actually playing pretty calm. That's
yeah, true. Exactly. So Kim's not the same person we saw in One World right now. And she hasn't been able to get her footing. Maybe now she'll be able to turn it around, but you know, there's going to be some sort of target on her back, especially maybe from some of the other female players who haven't played with her yet. Maybe Michelle says, I want to get rid of Kim because I'm scared of Kim. She doesn't know that Kim has like had no ally yet. So I don't know. I'm up in the air on Kim. There's 5 people I think have a better chance of going home than her, but not feeling great about her.
Yeah. I have Kim at number 11 because she has no friends and she only has an idol if Sophie is feeling generous.
Yeah. And Sophie's not going to be
feeling generous. Sophie's not feeling generous.
No, because the only way that Kim's going to get that other half is if Sophie and Kim are on the same tribe, because it'll be before they go to tribal. Sophie would give it back. And at that point, Sophie's definitely not going to give it back, because if Kim needs it, that means it's likely Sophie who would be going other than Kim. So there's no way Kim is getting the other half of that idol.
She's getting mathematically eliminated here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know, right?
Every situation sucks.
Yeah. Who's your number 10, Albert?
So then my next spot would be Nick Wilson.
Okay.
And Nick is, again, for what we talked about, I think he was a little nervous when they brought him up as like, oh, you're the name, which I didn't like. I thought that was the only thing. Like, he seemed a little paranoid, but Again, I think he's kind of going to be a nice, just Nick Wilson. Nobody's threatened by him. He's you know, just an all shucks guy. And he, I think there's not many permutations where he ends up where they're just like getting Nick out, unless it's like a super veteran heavy, like, you know, four-time players. But I think with almost everybody in this group, Nick kind of just floats along.
Yep. So. I agree. I think Nick, I actually think Nick's in a weird spot where being a lot of, like, we've seen Malcolm and Russell do it, but nobody had seen Malcolm or Russell's game when they were able to come back, play again, and do fairly well. People have seen Nick's game, but he's in a rare position where nobody's threatened by the most recent. Like, there's no recency bias against Nick. Like, we see when, by the time Russell came out for season 22, there was no way he was going to win that. There was no way he was going to be able to get his footing. Whereas with this situation, people are just like, oh, he's just Nick. Like, they've almost already forgotten about the fact that he won, because in their minds, he's every other one of them won before Nick. So Nick should kind of be like, he's kind of like a follower to all of them. Nobody's looking at Nick as a legend in any way, because they all beat him. They all won before him.
Even though his season was great, David versus Goliath was a fantastic season, but he wasn't even really, and I would argue, he's not even really the star of a season. We go back to that argument, right? It's like a Christian-led season, Davey, all these other big names, and he was kind of like the guy that just kind of like...
There might have been six people bigger characters than him on that season.
Angelina was on that too.
Angelina, right? Gabby, Christian, Alec. Alec was huge. I mean, you had a lot of
what's her name? Natalie, right? Natalie Bombs.
Natalie Napalm, man. That's it. I mean, there was a lot of huge. Mike White, another one. Like, that's just a lot of big characters on that season, which is why everybody loves that season. And there might be people who think that, oh, maybe Nick wasn't that deserving of a winner. He only won because he sat next to a guy who already had millions of dollars, and Angelina, who nobody was going to vote for. But, man, like, Nick won that season because he made alliances with everybody he needed to make alliances with. So, I don't know. I think they're underestimating him. And I don't think it's the right thing to do. Based on his edit, I don't think he has a chance to win this season. But based on, like, the way he's playing, I think he's going to beat so many more people than he probably should beat, because they're just not taking him seriously.
Yeah.
I'll do my 11 before you, Albert, just because Alexa just was talking about him. I have Tony at 11. I kind of already gave my thoughts on Tony, but there's four other people that I think are below him. I think Tony's playing a great game. I just got to put him low because his name's still Tony and there's nowhere to hide.
Can't change that name.
No, unfortunately. Albert.
I have Tony at 11 also.
There you go.
All right.
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you my thing on Tony. He actually reminds me of this guy that that I know and you guys know, Coach Wade, right? Played three times. Think about his game. Think about his arc. First time he played, gigantic character, right? Tokenshin's coach, Kaga Yantoni, right? Second time, both all-star season, kind of a disappointment, right? Game changer for Tony, early exit. Coach, early exit, and he was in Villains. Time number three, it's like a calmer, more relaxed. Everyone's like, because I told you guys this, when I played with Coach, I'm like, I was expecting a cartoon character. And I was like, this is like a decently cool dude. I feel like everyone, like even Yule said that at Tribal Council, he's like, I expected Tony to be an asshole. And he turns out to be a nice guy. Like, so I think he's really worked on himself, and he's trying to keep all that Tony in him. You know, you see it for a second when Tyson's like, anytime he gets a counter argument, you can see like the wheels start turning. And it's like, man, maybe I should go in this crazy direction. It's like, no, just stay the course, be calm. So he's doing a little bit of what Coach did. He's doing the Tony 3.0, which I'm happy to see. But like you said, Phil, he's still Tony. He's still, and that argument really holds water, that the people that haven't been playing with him so far, if he's not really well positioned, they might be like, screw this. This is Tony. Get him out. I'm gambling by having him at 11. So.
I love like what you were talking about there, how you can just see the wheel start turning. My favorite thing is when Tony's at Tribal Council, he's sitting so on the edge of his stool.
He's and like bouncing.
Anytime somebody even mentions his name, he's just like, I'm ready to fight. So ready. I've been holding this in for so long. Like, you could just see him bursting, and he's just got his hands on his legs and he's shaking. It's awesome. I love it.
He plays Survivor like he's a football player, and his coach, who's like mad at him, is there, and he's like, he gives an answer to Tribal Council, and it's almost like he looks over and he's like, "Is that okay? Did I not mess that one up?" Like,
I love it. I'm loving Tony on the season. I think Albert, I think us putting him at 11 is a little risky, but I do think he's going to end up.
I'm like super confident, like top 10. I'm like, these people aren't going anywhere. But once we get into Tony, I'm like, this is dangerous.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden it's yikes territory. I'm curious to see if we all have the same person at 12 or if we're getting close there. But I have Adam at 12 and nobody has mentioned Adam yet. Nobody's mentioned Adam, Boston Rob, or Parvati. So there's three. We all have three of the same bottom four. It's just who's that fourth person. Right. But Alexa?
No, you go. You're about to talk about Adam.
Oh, I kind of. I mean, I don't really have that much to say about Adam, except that I think he's overplayed. And I think last week was a great redemption for him. He kept jumping, kept grabbing it, had the great confessional about his mother, which I thought was awesome. Like, really good human moments. And he has the apology tour, and even though Boston Rob's still able to throw him under the bus, I just think that because he played so hard so early, nobody's going to trust him. And it's just going to be one of those things where it's, hey, if you want to get rid of Adam, we can get rid of Adam. You know, nobody's really going to say, no, we must keep Adam. I mean, you get to these small tribes, that's a problem. And Adam's not great in challenges. So it's not like his tribe is just going to keep winning because they have Adam. This isn't James Clement. This is Adam Klein. So yeah, I worry that if his tribe loses, he could just be an easy one for DeCall and Selle to just get behind and vote out.
Yeah, Adam's looking, he's in another tough position. I don't think him offering coconut soup, that everyone just rejected him when he offered that. I felt so bad. You know, I don't think that's going to directly save him. I think it was either Tony or Yule who said, or no, it was Nick who was like, alliances aren't shown until you're voting together. So mm-hmm. I think Adam, he still needs to get there. I have Wendell at 12 and Adam at 13. I can't imagine Wendell's going to go home because he used to date Michelle and he spurned her. Like, I cannot, that's just not how Wendell's going to go home. That can't possibly be it.
Am I the only one that didn't know that Wendell and Michelle dated?
Where have you been, Albert? Where have you been?
I don't know where, when, and where. I don't know any of that, but I know that they are both super attractive.
I hang out with Bradley enough, and like Bradley is just like the gossip king of Ghost Island. So I knew it because of that. Because Bradley, every time I got together with Bradley,
Dated at least one of these survivors, right? He dated one or two at least.
Yeah, he dated. He dated Kellen. I don't know if there was a second one.
I didn't want to say it. I sat on my hands and I.
That was good. That was good.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. I was hoping that you were going to be like, oh yeah, there were two. And then you say the other one and we all know he dated Kellen, but then there's another player he dated that nobody knew about. And it's like Bradley.
I just throw like a huge curveball at you. I'm like
yeah, anyway, exactly.
But yeah, so Wendell, I mean, Wendell has allies. Wendell and Michelle, I think they're going to end up working together. I think they're totally playing that. The editors are playing that up. Adam has no friends. And mm-hmm. has to prove that back in a vote. So I am super nervous for Adam. Mm-hmm. So Wendell's 12, Adam's 13.
Yeah, Wendell's my 13. So I'll just say that before Albert goes here with his 12 and 13. Wendell's my 13. I just worry because Michelle has gotten so much content of, I'm worried my win didn't go this way. It didn't look good. Nobody liked it. I need to prove myself, all of that. And she's proving herself. Wendell hasn't gotten much content at all, but he's gotten enough that it's not like if Nick went home or Kim went home or we'd be going, who the heck was that? Why didn't they get more screen time? He's still gotten enough screen time that if Wendell were to go, I wouldn't be floored with the edit he got and all that. So I don't want to use the word expendable, but that's the only word that's coming to mind right now. And he does kind of feel expendable to the editors. So if he were going to go, it would make sense for him to get kind of like a one story arc that pushes forward the arc of Michelle. If Michelle were to go on very, very far in the game.
Yeah, I actually think Wendell actually has a similar arc to what we saw from Troy Zan in Game Changers, right? Where mm-hmm. he like was quiet, a little bit more of a mover and shaker in his first season, and then kind of scooted to the end. I could see Wendell making it to the end and just not doing that great, kind of like Troy Zan, mm-hmm. Just based on connections. But my 12 is going to be a little bit of a surprise here. You guys might have heard of this guy. His name is Boston Rob.
Wow.
I have him at 12 because listen, we're in a big threat zone here. The last players remaining for me are really big. But I think of all the big threats or the people that are in quote unquote in trouble, I think Rob has the most upward mobility where he can play out of it, right? He can influence people. He can win challenges when he needs to. Like we've seen Rob on, I think, almost every puzzle, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. so far.
I think so.
You know, he's a pretty decorated challenge player when his back's against the wall. So I can see Rob just putting it together and winning a challenge and rallying whatever little group he has. You know, for Rob, that first tribe didn't do that well on Selle, mm-hmm. right? Selle. I think he needs to rally his game. You know, his wife got voted off. He's kind of playing with a chip on his shoulder now. So I think he's, you know, I think Boston Rob needs to show that, you know, hey, Redemption Island wasn't a fluke. I didn't get lucky. I'm a great player. I'm one of the greats, if not the greatest. So I have him 12 and 13. I actually have Sandra. I have Sandra 13. Just because, again, she's just such a big threat. She doesn't have challenge value. A lot of the old schoolers are falling by the wayside. I can see Sandra just kind of getting in a bad situation with a bunch of the new schoolers who are just like, dude, that's the queen. We got to get her out of here.
Now, we've talked about Sandra's idol. Do you think that Sandra gets cocky enough that she doesn't think she needs to play the idol and just doesn't play the idol because she's almost like, ha, 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 I can fool these guys? Do you think that there's any chance that happens?
Yeah, I didn't even process that. I'm sorry. I had this kind of written up. I don't think she would do that. I think she's too much of a anybody but me safe player. I don't think she just has that, like, I'd be really shocked to see that. I kind of misstepped there on that one. But overall, I was looking more of the over encompassing for the longevity of the game.
I agree. Yeah. If I'm looking at longevity for this game, I do not have Sandra in spot two where I have her now. Like, I think Sandra, once that idol is no longer a value, Sandra immediately goes down into my, if there's 14 people left, she's probably 14. If there's 13 people left, she's probably 13. It's kind of what I've been doing with Boston Rob this whole time. He's always been at the bottom of my rankings just because I'm amazed every time that he's able to survive. Because
yeah,
that
you're like, how's Boston Rob not out?
It's one of those things where it shows how great of a player he is, but it also shows how much everybody else really wants to keep him as a shield. But you have to start getting rid of these shields instead of your allies at some point. So it's like, how much longer can Boston Rob really last? I mean, no spoilers here. I have Boston Rob in last place again. I have him at 15. I have Parvati at 14 because
same.
I mean, now you're coming into a tribe swap. No matter what happens, even if he's who you want as a shield, you're coming into this tribe swap, and one person on your 5-person tribe, if you have Boston Rob on your tribe, is going to say, why don't we get rid of Boston Rob? He's just here. This is so easy.
That's all it takes is one person.
Yeah. That's it. And I just think all they need to do is rally two other people. And let's say you get a tribe where it's like, maybe Yule, Sophie, and Denise, and they're like, you want to just get rid of Boston Rob? Sure, let's get rid of Boston Rob. Okay, cool. Boston Rob's gone. And there's no way that even if Boston Rob is there with his best friend or wife, who both can't be there because they're both on Edge of Extinction right now, still that person wouldn't be able to do enough to sway anybody. So
and those are two people you mentioned there, interestingly enough, that I think Rob's charm won't work on. I think Yule's too calculated. Mm-hmm. I think Sophie, like playing with Sophie, like she doesn't fall for that stuff. So like, if Rob ends up with those two, like he's not going to sway him. He might sway a Ben or an Adam, or, you know, even like a Wendell might be like, oh, that's my bro now. Like, you never know. Like, but,
I think like Sophie said, like she wanted her nerd shield or whatever she had called it. And she has her nerd shield in Yule. Boston Rob does nothing for Sophie. And Boston Rob does nothing for Yule. And I don't know how these tribes are going to swap out, but I just think of it that way. Like, Boston Rob's a name that's going to come up pretty much no matter who he's with. And if he gets one of those types of players, why would they want to keep him? There's just, that's not Jeremy who's saying, oh, Boston Rob will always be a bigger target than me. Yule and Sophie don't have really the same things in common with Boston Rob that Jeremy does.
Yeah. So. I concur. Listen, he's got an upward hill. He's got an upward climb for him.
Yeah.
I have that position there. I guess I'll jump into the 14 here. If we don't, I actually have Adam in 14 for the reasons you guys mentioned about that he's just kind of been squirrely. He was kind of really well positioned, and I don't know what his incentive was to play with Rob or to share information. Not really sure why he did that. I thought he kind of like, you know, just outplayed himself, and now is like, unless he just gets with a group of people that are what he needs is somebody that's, or a big group, a contingent that's not from his former tribe. He needs a lot of the red tribe members. So if he got with like a, let's say he gets with Yule now and he gets with even Sophie, like it might be a fresh start for him. For him, a swap actually is fantastic. Staying in the same tribe is really bad. So he kind of needs that because he doesn't have a lot of a connection on the other side.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, so that means you have Parv at 15.
Parv is my last one. I think Parv's going to go.
Okay. So let's talk about Parvati, because Alexa, you had Parvati at 14. You had the same ending as me, 14 Parvati, 15 Boston Rob. Let's talk Parvati, because that's somebody who we really haven't even mentioned at all during this podcast. Albert, why is it that you think she would go before anybody else right now?
I think Parv is the biggest threat because she's on the same stratosphere as Rob, right? Same stratosphere, is probably ahead of Sandra. I'm sure
you agree.
Ranked more dangerous than Sandra. And she doesn't have the challenge value at this point. So she's probably at less percentage wise to win a challenge. I think her reputation is sneakier than Rob's. As much as Rob is a dominant player, she has more of a reputation as like a, you know, she's like knows how to manipulate people and stuff like that. I think she has a little bit more negative. And I don't really see her playing that. Like, I don't see her doing what I've seen Tony do, right? She doesn't seem like a different person. It still seems like Parvati's out there in a way. She's like, all right, Rob, we're going to figure this out. Like, I think she's kind of, I think she's such a big target that it would shock me if she doesn't go in the next two votes.
And it's cool that you mentioned that with Parv being like sneakier than Rob. Parvati is known for her image of stirring the pot. That is like the most iconic image of Parvati on the show. The most iconic thing for Rob is him telling Lex, sorry, buddy, get the hell out. Like those are the two iconic things. And like you said, like Parvati's is happening while she's with her alliance and she's stirring the pot. Rob's is happening when he's telling the person he's about to vote off, like, adios, you're out of here. So it's really interesting how differently they play, but how they're both such big targets here.
Yeah, Rob's game's more like face up and like in your face, like I'm gonna do this, I'm in charge, this is how it rolls. Parv's more sneaky, a little backhanded. So I just think that in this game, everyone needs to be fearful of that. Like Rob is a very tangible target, but Parvati's, she'll stab you in the back. I mean, that's how I think people perceive her, somebody who can stab her in the back. I'm curious your take, Alexa.
I don't see, but Rob, Boston Rob made a really good point this week when he was like, doing what Adam's doing isn't his game. Like Rob and Parvati, they're both the pot stirrers and Rob's the loud one, but they're very loyal and they've played a pretty loyal game. So I guess Boston Rob maybe a little more so than Parvati.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting seeing them adjust to how the game is played now, where loyalty is so fluid, but they're still surviving. It's really odd. I'm curious to see what their downfalls will be.
And we are five votes into this game. We've had five people voted out, and Boston Rob, Parvati, and Sandra, probably the three biggest threats in the entire history, like normally considered three of the greatest players of all time. Yeah. Whether you agree with that or not, those are normally who's considered there. And all three of them are still in after five votes of a season of Survivor. That's absurd.
I think the one, just to kind of tell you that number's insane, but I think the one thing between Rob and Parv that puts me on Rob's side is, again, I think perception is everything, right? How people are perceived. I think people perceive Rob as like, if I'm with Rob, he can lead us to like victory or lead us correctly. I think people think if I'm with Parvati, it's like, she can stab me at any time, or she can she's going to influence the game for herself. Like they don't look at her as like this, like rallying person. And she's a great player on her. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's like people are like scared of her in a way where people are more like, even though they should be scared of Rob, they're not as scared of her. That's got him. Does that make sense?
And Rob is kind of like his game is still similar to Russell's in the way of he would play so loyal to the people he was loyal with that he's not one of the people that you're loyal to if you're not one of the people he's loyal to, you hate him. And then also if you're in his alliance and you end up not being his number one, you also hate him. Because
his Ometepe group, like that cluster went through the whole game together. He's like, I'm going to put you on my back and we're going to do it. And that's what he did. That's how he won.
And they all thought he was their number two, and he didn't believe that for any of them. And like Grant probably still hasn't talked to Boston Rob since that happened. So it's really crazy to think about that. Like he's so loyal that it actually makes the people he's loyal to hate him when he eventually does have to vote them out, because you can't take 10 people to the final tribal.
Yeah, listen, I feel you, Bob. Rob, I watch your season. I try to replicate that exact thing. And I'm like, I'm going to have everyone think I'm their number one. And then, like, as I did it, like, Rick and all these people are like, screw you, man. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on here?
That final tribal, man, you just got. Yeah. But so that pretty much does it for our power rankings. We do our eliminator game, Albert. It's so hard to explain, especially because we have to explain it every week. Go ahead, Alexa.
So I think I've gotten like nailed it to like three sentences. So it's pretty much the same thing as a survivor pool in football. Throughout the entire season, you can only pick one person each week who is safe. So previously, Phil, I'm not looking at the Google Doc. I think Kim,
Nick, and Sophie were taken by Team Survivor. So you have to take somebody who's not Kim, not Nick, and not Sophie, who's not going to go home this week.
Yeah, you can't use the same person twice.
Exactly. Yeah, and what's happening, though, is because people are being voted out of the game, your numbers are dwindling from, like, both sides, and you can run out of players, unlike an NFL one where, there's 17 teams you're going to pick, and there's still. So
give me the names one more time who cannot be used.
You can't pick Nick, you can't pick Kim, and you can't pick Sophie.
Okay, that's not too troublesome.
No.
Yeah, who picked Nick first?
Yeah.
That was Chris Underwood.
Right. So Yule's still available, right?
Yeah.
Sure is.
So should I go with my number one?
He's looking good.
Let's go. Why not? Right. Matt, the book says go with Yule.
There you go. So he's going with Yule. Alexa, I see who you're going with. You want to announce that one?
I am picking Kim Spradlin. I've picked dangerously. No, Sandra. Or no, for my section. So,
I'm picked, the survivors.
Yes. Team Survivor. So who have I've picked Sandra, Boston Rob, and Parvati, I think. So I keep picking people who are super in trouble. I'm going to pick Kim.
Yep. And I'm going to go with Sandra because I was waiting for her to only have one chance left to play the idol. And now she finally only has that. I have so far taken Parvati, Kim, and Adam. Now I'm going to take Sandra. It sucks because what you want to have happen, Albert, is the people you pick early, you want to kind of go the next week. So you pick, if I were to pick Parvati, I want Parvati to go the next week. Yeah, so that
it makes sense. I totally just fumbled that. I don't know why I took
it. Oh, no, you take Yule. Do whatever you want.
I mean, hey, are you thinking Yule's going to end up winning this season? Like, who's your take on who's going to pull this out?
Yeah,
who's
going to win?
Yeah, based on that, I should probably have sat on you a little bit and you waited him for a different week. But it's a swap week. Swap weeks are crazy. I think you can't gamble too much on swap weeks. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to take people with advantages. Who do I think is going to win? Man, it beats me. I mean, I'm hoping win. I would say right now, Yule looks good. My girl Sophie actually looks pretty good. Sophie, like, she looks pretty decent. Jeremy looks good again from a unconventional. You know what? Tony actually, I get a little bit of Tony vibes here. So I don't know. I think they've done a really good job of keeping everything like here. There's not too many people in tremendous trouble. The only people in trouble are the people that are huge targets, like, you know, that we discussed, the Robs and Parvatis of the world. And just Adam's really the only person that's like stepped out of line in a way, and everyone else is like blinders on. So winner pick Yule, but I don't know.
That's all I get. Yeah. I hear you. I mean, it's a tough one to figure out. I would say that right now I'm sitting in a position where I say the people on Edge probably don't have a chance to win, just because even if they come back, they'll get some votes probably from like the people they've been hanging out with. But I don't think that they get any more votes than that. And then, like, I think other than probably Wendell and Nick, who haven't really gotten much screen time, anybody else who's left out there can pull this out. I mean, even Kim Spradlin, she's had a really rough go of it, but she could still suddenly start to build now that there's a swap and get her footing in the game. We've seen what she can do once she has the power. So
Sarah Lucina, too. Don't sleep. Sarah Lucina is like a little, I think there's a little bit of value to her. I think she could just really pop off, win immunities, create alliances, make good decisions. Like, she's aggressive with her advantages and stuff like that. Like, I can see her doing some exit moves.
Yeah, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Albert, you have anything else you want to throw at us, or should we take this home, Alexa?
I don't have anything right now, guys.
All right.
All right. We are going into a swap week. So this Wednesday, we'll be back at some point after the Eastern time zone episode. We had a bit of a mishap this past week with Phil's job, but everything's fine. So we'll try to be live around 6:30 p.m. PT, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time with our episode 5 swap recap. In the meantime, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and become a patron. Go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We're going to be doing a March Madness-esque alliance bracket for our March retrospective. We're going to be figuring out who the best alliance in Survivor history is. So make sure to tune in for that. And Albert, thanks so much for coming on. This was, again, a blast.
Guys, always a pleasure. You know, I'm excited to see what's going to happen with this swap next week. And I appreciate you guys having me again.
Yeah, no problem. And we'll try to have you again in the future.
Good stuff. Thank you.